SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on a Thursday morning, not just any Thursday morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy beginning of the NCAA tournament officially. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside here as well. DRS, how you feeling?
Woke up with a little pep in my step today because at noontime, we are going to let it rip and off we go. One of the greatest long extended weekends of the year is March Madness Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And as I like to say, Kevin, we're here for you at the grid. That's for sure.
No doubt about it. I will say, Donnie Wrightside, approval rating in the Walsh household, pretty high. No green on St. Patrick's Day. Takes a hit.
Now look at you.
I'd love to.
Well, hold on.
What do you mean? This
Wait.
Is green.
What do you mean?
If you
what?
Thought. Now here's what? The thing, man, right? I want you to
Is
try
Walsh
to use a bit of logic.
Irish?
But do you think that I called you out for not wearing green while not wearing green myself?
Speaking of green, that's a great plus.
You know what? That would have been right up your alley. Speaking of green, Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, the Irish, our final set of play-in games yesterday. It started with quite the high-scoring affair. Wright State beat Bryant 93-82. That game was really, really fun to watch. Peter Kiss, the leading scorer in the country, landed with 28 points. Shout-out to Tanner Holden on Wright State, who actually dropped 37 in the game. But it was the nightcap, Donnie. Notre Dame, 89. Rutgers, 87. Double overtime as the Fighting Irish move on, and they'll be playing Alabama.
Yeah, if you were betting Rutgers last night, screaming at your TV, KW, get a stop! Get a stop somewhere down the stretch, and you win that game. Couldn't do it, and my goodness, a double overtime performance here. Now, Kevin, will that video make it to one shining moment at the end of the tournament where Bray's running around, Notre Dame, what an unbelievable win in the play-in game.
The entire game will take up about 35% of one shining moment there. It was a top. Listen, I will say for Rutgers, it's just not the draw that they needed. They needed to be playing a big team.
Gonzaga.
Not a team on their. Exactly. They play Gonzaga, Donnie. They catch 15 and a half. They go out there. They lose the game by 14 each and every time. They catch a point. Wow. It's a tough, tough scene. Fun stuff, though. Bracket is set, and we'll be breaking this all down, which means we only have a little bit of time to kind of get into some of the other headlines. I was hoping it'd be a calm day. Not even close. Major League Baseball, Donnie, two monstrous, monstrous signings. Freddie Freeman with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and Chris Bryant, for some reason, made the move to take the bag and go to Colorado and sign with the Rockies, a team that just got rid of Nolan Arenado. It feels like a week ago, Donnie. Very bizarre. Obviously, I'm exaggerating there. But Chris Bryant's a Rocky, and Freddie Freeman is a Dodger. Huge money being spent there in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I don't obviously understand what the Dodgers do. They have the biggest payroll in baseball. They don't care about any luxury tax. They can double up on anybody else, and that's what they do. And that's what Major League Baseball apparently wants, is one team that can outspend teams by basically 5-1. But let's get to the Colorado Rockies. What is going on here? Like, I understand Nolan Arenado was looking to get out here, but he was a high-priced guy that you signed, that you shipped out of town, only to sign another high-priced guy. But what is your ceiling this year? Like, you're not even going to be competitive. Is this one like, hey, fans, come out and you can see Chris Bryant? That only goes so far at times here, Kevin. A completely puzzling mood. Not for Chris Bryant, who's not going to win anything. He gets the money. That's the end game in Major League Baseball. But outside of that, I don't know what the Rockies are doing, to be honest with you.
Radio audience is with us here on a Thursday morning. It's Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside on the early line. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all as we're rocking up here on a happy beginning of the NCAA tournament. Look, for the Rockies, it's a fine contract. $26 million a year for 7 years for Chris Bryant at the age of 30. I just don't really understand. You just moved on from an Nolan Arenado. It doesn't feel like they know which direction they're going. As far as Freddie Freeman goes, look, Dodgers are running this up in an unbelievable way. But they've been doing that for a while, and they have one World Series to show for it. They're the favorites by a good distance from the second choice, and deservingly so, We'll see if it plays out. We'll see if teams try and call and poach players from the Dodgers. You know, Gavin Lux of the world. Where are his reps coming there? I mean, obviously, watch that team just, you know, let a player of Corey Seager's caliber walk out of the door because of how much talent continues to come into that stadium. A credit to them, though, consistently trying to win a World Series. How about a team trying to win a championship but in the NFL? The Buffalo Bills, Donnie, make one of the marquee signings, I think, so far, a free agency as they land Von Miller to add to their defense.
Love the move here. And I got, you know, go right on Twitter yesterday when it broke. I was like, this is fantastic. This is exactly what you need. A little bit of juice in Buffalo. And people are like, man, at that price, would you actually do that? People, if you don't understand in the NFL, if you have a rich owner, there is no legitimate salary cap. You can push numbers all over the place. So the fact that Von Miller got $20 million or $100 million, if the Buffalo Bills have room, they will make it happen. And they did. I love the move because I was waiting, saying, hey, man, Buffalo, you got to take that next step. You need elite talent to do that. They just got an elite pass rusher. And there you go.
They absolutely did. A guy who's got a couple of Super Bowls under the belt. Buffalo's price to win the Super Bowl, though, remains absolutely ridiculous at plus 650. It makes absolutely no sense. I have no idea where they've come up with that number, how they're sat in front of Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, of the like. It's truly not something that I can find a justification for. Speaking of Tampa Bay, the Bucs and Godwin reach a deal, obviously trying to set the stage for what that can mean for Davante Adams. NBA last night, Spencer Dinwiddie returned to Brooklyn, buzzer beater three as the Mavs take down the Nets. Joel Embiid, if he's on that floor, he's giving you 30 plus, 35 and 17 in a big win for Philly. Let's talk brackets, babe. We're right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Let's get right to it. Round of 64 begins. The first game, Colorado State and Michigan. Now, the Big Ten here rocks up with an 11 seed as a favorite. It is a rarity. Not often do you see a double-digit seed laying a number in the NCAA tournament, but that number has continued to trickle down. A big part of the reason, Michigan's starting point guard, the transfer from Coastal Carolina, Devontae Jones, will be missing this game, which has put a little bit more juice behind Colorado State. This line here is a 1, Don, and we're checking in at a 137 total. You lined up this 6-11. What made sense?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game nonetheless here. But also, Kevin, as you know, we're going to do our special money line edition today. How about the early games, though, real quick? You got Michigan and Colorado State will be on the air for. Then the other 12 o'clock game, South Dakota State and Providence. Mm-hmm. And then you follow that up with, what's the third game in there? That was the good one there around 12. What's the
Boise,
other one there?
12.
We got Providence. Yes, correct. Boise, Memphis. I am so ecstatic that those are the three games that are going to tip off this tournament. But talking about Michigan, the reason why we're ecstatic games like Michigan and Colorado State are here, it's not because you expect a great game. These are the polarizing teams, right? Mm-hmm. Not Colorado State. They're going to come in and say, hey, we deserve to be here. And absolutely they do. But Michigan, do they come in with a chip on their shoulder? Because the narrative is, this team should have made it much more easily, Kevin, than they actually did. But lining them up here, sometimes it comes down to, and again, the moniker I use, styles make fights here. One team doesn't want to shoot the three-point shot, and one team on defense, Kevin, says, please shoot the three-point shot. So if we get right down to Michigan's offense, who is very good, top 20 in the country here at offensive efficiency, going up against a Colorado State defense that they should be able to score points on. But take a look at this component here. Three-point attempts here. 32% of the shots that Michigan shoots, Kevin, are from behind the three-point line. That's 301st in the country. But if you flip it over, do you know who's 337th in the nation at letting you shoot the three-point shot? That's Colorado State. So if this was one of those teams in Michigan that absolutely launches from three-point range, you would have to give them a bump. But I give them a downgrade because you can't just force the three-point shot, even though they make about 34% as a team, which is about average. If that's not your wheelhouse and that's not what you like to lean on, like we talked about, Kevin, if Alabama or Auburn or somebody like lines up against Colorado State and they say, hey, we'll let you shoot the three-point shot, it could get deadly out there. But I think that matchup might be a little bit too much to overcome. And I got to tell you, sometimes when we're betting games or we're trying to advance teams in the tournament, I have Colorado State winning just because I don't trust Michigan. And yes, it's still me going, man, I don't know if they really deserve to get in the tournament per se at this time. So I'm going Colorado State to advance here. But that's just one little nugget where Michigan, if they do shoot more three-point shots than they're used to, Kevin, and make them, they'll have a pathway to victory. But I'm going to trust Colorado State more here over Michigan.
Yeah, look, we know, you know, it's true of any team, right? If they can get hot, it gets, you know, very, very interesting. And especially you're dealing here with what is essentially a pick'em kind of game. Trends you'll hear me mention a lot today will be non-conference and neutral site games. Those are the numbers that I tried to really bring to the table here today. I'll say just on the surface, though, Donnie, because we spent a lot of time talking about whether or not Michigan deserved to be in. And I tell you, there's not a single thing through the, you know, prep for this show where I said, psh, you know what, man? I've been hard on Michigan. I might have been light on Michigan, man. I don't know how this team is in here because they play in the Big Ten. I mean, that is just the crux of the issue here. That is how this team got in. 1-3 versus tournament teams in the non-conference. 6-9 versus the Big Ten teams that ultimately landed in the tournament. And it's 4-7 if I remove Indiana and Rutgers, who obviously were play-in teams and a coin flip away from making it or not. All in all here, this Michigan resume is not that strong, and I actually think the Colorado State one is better. Look, there's a reason why they are a 6 compared to the 11 status there for Michigan. Wins over Creighton, St. Mary's, the Mississippi State team that landed themselves in the NIT. They beat Boise twice, grabbed the win off San Diego State, and a win off of Wyoming here. Michigan has just left me completely unmoved, and I agree, Donnie, I think this is a spot to back Colorado State. I believe they do win this game. And let me just add this as well. You know, I don't – even if Michigan does get through here, we want – oh, it's just a team that gets hot. Like, Donnie, isn't – don't you feel, oh, man, Michigan, they're playing their best ball of the season. No, they're not, man. They're 7-6 in their last 13 games. They don't have a win streak more than 2 games in this run. They're coming in off of a loss. Like, Donnie, this is not a group that kind of fits that description of, oh, man, that's not a team that you want to run into right now. I want to run into them each and every time imaginable, Don. It's just an overrated group that I don't really think, especially with their starting point guard out, even deserves to be laying a point in this game.
No, and that's the way I look at it, too. And most people that – and keep in mind here, like, we are handicappers. We'll follow college basketball all the way through. A lot of people are just dipping into the tournament right now, having fun, filling out their bracket, going out to the bar with their buddies and watching the games. You go, now, wait a second here. Yeah. Michigan, 1-point game with Colorado State. Where do I sign up? Well, I mean, that's going to be the crux of the argument today as it tips off. But I love the fact, Kevin, that you get one of these games right off the bat that you can enjoy, because there's going to be a lot of finger pointing going, I told you Michigan should have been in it, or I told you that team was overrated, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, also, I would keep an eye towards the under here. Michigan was 7-3 to the under in the non-conference, 3-1 to the under on neutral courts, and Colorado State was 5-1 to the under on neutral courts. That could be a little bit lower scoring. Now, there's a lot of big games on the card. This next one, though, is absolutely one of the biggest games on the card. It's Providence and South Dakota. People have been desperate to pick this South Dakota team. People have been desperate to pick against this Providence group. I am surprised that Providence is even holding on to their status as a favorite, legitimately here. They're going to lay 2 points down with a big-time total of 147.5. The people love the Jackrabbits. The people love the Jackrabbits not just to win this game, but they don't care who do they see next round. Boom, Jackrabbits going to be moving on here. This team's going to put a, you know, fear into Kansas, but it starts here. It's a 4 versus a 13. How do you see this one playing out?
This is awesome. This is so much fun to try to break this game down, because another one right off the bat where you take a look and you say there's people out there that really like Providence, and then the analytical backers that say this team is way overrated and they should get upset right away from South Dakota State. But here's what you have to watch out for. And Kevin, you know me, because I always like to give what I like to see, what my tells are during the season. Mm-hmm. I like when you get to conference play and you have numbers, which means like opponents versus like opponents, you know, same, like, hey, we get 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars, or you dip down into, let's just say, the Metro Atlantic Conference, the Southland Conference, and you say, okay, I can match these two teams up. This is where it makes it tough. And the reason I'm bringing this up is South Dakota State doesn't run the gamut here. They're not like, hey, Gonzaga runs through their conference. Now, they did run through their conference, but at least Gonzaga goes out and plays a little bit better of a conference schedule, because you have USF that's factored in there, St. Mary's. So you can get some tests during the regular season. You don't get that with South Dakota State, but that's no knock on them, because if you look at just their numbers, Kevin, efficiency, 11th in the nation. Effective field goal percentage, number one in the nation. And I talk about this so many times. You can live and die by the three-point shot. They don't shoot a ton of three-point shots, Kevin, but as a team, on the season, 44% from three-point range. That's not like, hey, the last three games they got hot. That's a 30-plus game schedule, Kevin, where they shot almost 45% from three-point range. Inside the arc, Kevin, ninth in the nation at 56%. How about from the free throw line? 76%. This team does it all, but it's hard for me to quantify and say, well, how does that translate? Because you can have equated to anything. High school football, college football. Hey, this team plays in a lower, you know, group or now has to play a team that has twice the amount of students in their school. Oh, they don't look so good. Why? It's not their fault here. That's just where they play and the talent level they have. So what I'm going to try to look out for is say, I trust Providence a little bit more. Harden through that Big East, won the Big East regular season, and also, Kevin, playing with a chip on their shoulder. I can't sit here today and tell you that I like Providence all season long and I'm going to jump on South Dakota State. Can South Dakota State win? Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm still backing Providence here, Kevin.
Again, it's the same for me. I hope that Providence has the same chip on their shoulder going into this one that I do. I'm not getting involved here with everybody's favorite upset in the history of the NCAA tournament. Man, South Dakota State only lost four games. Providence only lost five playing in the Big East. South Dakota State's resume is like, Donnie, they were 0-2 in quad one games. Providence was 5-3. I don't understand the message here. How is this line a two spot here? Like, apparently it's better to win by a margin in the Summit than win close in the Big East. I don't agree with it at all. I don't agree with it at all. I will say, interesting here for the total. South Dakota State was 7-2 to the over in non-conference games. That pace certainly justifies a big total. We're round to 64 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So far, double agreement for myself and Donnie here in the opening two games to start the round of 64. I think we will start to go differently, though, when we bring up this Boise State-Memphis game. It's an 8-9. Boise is the 8, yet they are catching 3 points from the Memphis Tigers. The total for this one is 134. Boise State, Donnie, is a team that, look, they found a way, right, throughout that, throughout their conference tournament here. Memphis had a very disappointing start to their season. And they started to play some very, very good basketball here. What are you thinking of this Boise-Memphis game?
I can't wait. Like, I love this. I love these games that are getting started right off the bat because Memphis-Boise is a fun one. As you said, like, there's going to be a lot of split differences here because Memphis is one of those teams where you entered into the season going, boy, if they can get it right, they can do damage. Well, they didn't really have it right for most of the season, but now starting to come into their own, but also still have that talent, the NBA talent that you look forward to, where one team can carry through, and Memphis can do that. But I love Boise State. I love these smaller conferences. I love these guys that have been together for a couple years and still have superstar players. But sometimes it comes down to what makes sense in this game. If you look at Memphis's offense here, right? Because there's two things I want to say here. If we're looking for a close game, as you just brought up the odds in this game, we're expecting this game to come down to the final few minutes. One of those games where you look at Kevin, like, I'd be really surprised if Boise State won by like 15 or 20 points, or vice versa. Memphis did the same. Take a look at the turnover rate here. If you look at Memphis on offense, 352nd in the country, Kevin, at turning the basketball over in a close game, that's going to matter. But you know what counterbalances that? Take a look at Boise on offense, who is very good. Kevin, 346th in the nation at free throw percentage. You want to talk about 1-1s at the end of the game where Memphis is down 4 points and they're fouling? My goodness, this is one of the worst teams in the nation at actually salting the game away. But sometimes it comes down to also what you like to do. If we're trying to take a look at Memphis's offense, Kevin, volume from three-point range, 326th in the country at volume from behind the arc. If you line that up against Boise, they don't let you shoot the three-point shot. So it's one of those where we talked about Virginia so many times early in the season. Hey, you can have the three-point line. Let's see what we can do inside the arc. And that matches up fairly well here from a points perspective for Memphis. 54% of their offense, their point distribution, Kevin, comes from inside the arc. 55% of Boise State's defense comes from inside the arc where they're giving up those points there. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I do think Boise is the better basketball team overall here, and I picked them in my pool. I'm going to go with them today as a short dog price. But, boy, I'm going to be worried when we're watching this game play out, Kevin, late in the second half, and if Boise has a few-point lead, that's not a good look for them. That's not where they excel.
Yeah, look, I'm on Memphis in this spot here. Now, I can try and nitpick a Boise resume a bit, right? They didn't play any tournament teams in the non-conference. The San Diego State sweep is tremendous, even though that came by a combined 2 points. Two wins, combined 2 points. But I know it's Providence, the only luck box in the country. I feel for me, though, it's just way more about Memphis. It's not about tearing down Boise State, Donnie. If Memphis was able to get a draw that basically wasn't Gonzaga, they move on a couple of spots inside the bracket there. And Donnie knows this. I've talked about it. I know on Moneyline a lot, and certainly probably here on this show as well. I've contemplated Memphis beating Gonzaga a bunch. Like, ultimately filled out the bracket. That didn't happen for me. But I'll probably have a piece of Memphis in that game. If, of course, they get there. I think Memphis is just playing too high level of basketball right now to see them drop this game to Boise. But the pick on today for me, Donnie, is the under. Boise, 9-3 to the under in the non-conference. Memphis, 4-1 to the under on a neutral court. I think these are two very good defenses here. And I think both defenses have the ability to leave the other side of the court really wondering if this ever gets right. I've seen, Donnie, Memphis put teams in an absolute blender, struggle to touch the 50 marker, and we know Boise can do the same. I like under $134 in this game today.
I think it makes sense. Also, let's keep in mind here, the pod system in the NCAA tournament is kind of interesting here. We just talked about that Providence game. Providence is going to be playing in Buffalo, where South Dakota State has to travel across the country. If we look at Memphis versus Boise State, where are they playing? Portland, Oregon. So not necessarily home games, but a little bit easier to acclimate here. So let's see if that plays out a little bit as well. Maybe a little bit extra fan support. It's going to be a great game, but I like where you're going here. When you're taking a look at teams that make the NCAA tournament, we're not going to say it a lot, Kevin. Boy, that team really stinks on defense, because when you take a look at Boise, a top 20 defensive team in metrics here in the country, and Memphis, no slouch either at 33rd. These teams are going to play defense. That's why they're here.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit, Donnie, about the SEC teams in action. Three of them line up on today's card. I believe if you're in New Jersey, you cannot get a piece of Kentucky St. Peter's, which is obviously less than ideal.
Yeah.
You think, I don't know, can they like make an exemption for tournament games? Like, no one's fixing any games, but like certainly no one has enough clout to get St. Peter's to throw a tournament. Whatever. It is what it is, Donnie. The Wildcats are laying 18 to the Peacocks. The total for this one checks in at 132.5.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one here. Because as we like to say, Kevin, I watched a lot of MAC basketball this year. By far best team in the MAC, St. Peter's. I mean, I think you can agree with that as well. But if we take a look at how they match.
We didn't love that. We're off to a bad start.
There we go. So Kentucky, SEC team, NBA players get up and down the court and play great defense. Well, we take a look at St. Peter's, which this is a rarity where they're 260th in the country at offensive efficiency, going to play an SEC team. So you can slow it down as much as you want, but you still have to score the basketball. Effective field goal percentage, 274th. And hey, by the way, they probably take care of the basketball, though. They don't take care of the basketball, Kevin. 319th in the country at turning the basketball over. How about inside the paint? Boy, if they're not a great three-point shooting team, they got to be able to score at the rim versus Kentucky. How about if I told you they're 317th in the country at shooting percentage inside the arc? And we're talking about playing in the Metro Atlantic. You're not playing in the SEC, in the Big Ten night to night, where you're getting the elite athletes. That's an amazing statistic here. So one of my plays, just a little bit of a hint later on, I'm not going to play Kentucky. I'm not going to play a side with St. Peter's, but I'm looking under in this game, and I'll tease that for a little bit later. But I don't see St. Peter's scoring all that much in this one.
Man, it's an interesting spot. A lot of times, Don, I've seen these Kentucky games with big spreads and what I consider low totals. And it just feels like if Kentucky sleepwalks a little bit, St. Peter's can steal some points. And if Kentucky, Donnie, catches absolute fire, you're going to be up against it on the total. Ultimately, I think St. Peter's has a good chance to cover here. 8-3 this season against the number as an underdog. Kentucky's played 4 neutral site games. They only covered one of those here. While I think Kentucky, look, I'll be honest with you, Donnie. I think Kentucky is undoubtedly a top 5 team in the country. I just think that they got stuck with a tough draw, man. I really do. Now, they're going to move past St. Peter's. They're going to move past St. Peter's. But you start projecting out, man. A Murray State Don 7-10 is, I think, one of the more difficult 7-10 potentials there. And then, obviously, you go down the road. You know, it could be Purdue, could be Texas. All kind of depends what starts to shake out for people in that range. I just don't think the draw has shined favorably on Kentucky, and I think St. Peter's has a good chance to cover a number. Continuing with the SEC games here, Donnie, this is a big one for people. It's Arkansas and Vermont. You know what? Actually, I don't want to risk squeezing this in because there's a big spot here. People are looking for these upsets. Arkansas is a five-point favorite. The total is 139. Let me get Tennessee versus Longwood in the mix here because this is, again, Tennessee, Donnie, people feel confident that this group's going to win, and rightfully so. Minus 4,000 money line. They're laying 18 points. The total is 132.5. Vols, Longwood, big upset brewing. Tennessee covers a number. What jumped out of this game to you?
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee, obviously, you're talking about the SEC, and also, it's good that we have an extra minute here before we get to the other games, because we like to take a look at, like, you know, how these teams operate in these tournaments as opposed to the regular season. Yeah. Pressing the gas pedal down, for instance, it does no good for you to win by 40 points and run your starters there well into the second half, because you have a game that you're going to play roughly, what, 48 hours later from tip, maybe even less in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's interesting. But also, you're still getting these good teams. Kevin, I'm going to talk about growing up, like through the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. It was routine. Yeah. These first round games like Tennessee and Longwood would be 28-35 or even 38-40 point spreads here. It's no longer the case. These teams are playing really good basketball at the lower levels. The ultimate equalizer, you hear me talk about, against Tennessee could be the three-point shot. Top five in the country, Longwood, Kevin. 38.6%. So basically 39% from three-point range. If you can get hot from three-point range, you can certainly make those. But here's the issue. This is Tennessee. This is the SEC. So when you're playing in a lower-level conference, like, hey, I'm shooting wide-open jumpers. Now, hold on here. Why is this 6'5 guard closing out on me where I can't even get this shot off and he's blocking it for me? That always comes into the equation. But Tennessee is a top-five team in defensive efficiency in the country. They're going to put the clamps on Longwood today.
Yeah, I think Tennessee should be ready to move here. A lot of people know, Donnie, about survivor pools when it pertains to the NCAA tournament. Donnie and I will throw people what we like for today in terms of survivor. The question for me on Tennessee is not if they're safe or not. It's about how far of a run can this Volunteers team make. What I like for today's game, though, is a Tennessee team totaled over. Look, both Tennessee and Longwood were good against the number, out of conference, and on the neutral courts. Here's really the big thing for me. Longwood's only game that would be comparable was the opening game of the season they played Iowa. They gave up 106 points. But more important than that, Tennessee had six games where they were laying 15 or more points out of conference. They scored 76 or more in all of six, and they scored 86 or more in four of the six. Tennessee's team total for this one is 75.5. While I know that they predicate themselves on the defensive side of the basketball against teams like a Longwood, they have ran it up on the offensive end. I think this team can touch 90 here today versus Longwood. Tennessee, winners of the SEC tournament, playing some very good basketball as we enter the round of 64. That continues here today versus Longwood. We are coming up against the break, but when we come back, we start to get into upset territory. Mention Arkansas, Vermont. You've also got UConn, New Mexico, UNC Marquette, and Iowa Richmond. Who survives and who goes home? We continue to break it all down right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid, the round of 64 will be underway in less than 5 hours. So let's continue to break these games down. We stick with one last game featuring an SEC team today. That'll be Arkansas and Vermont. Vermont, Donnie, enters this tournament playing, obviously, very, very good basketball. And we saw inside their conference tournament absolutely rolling teams. What felt like regular 40-point victories. Arkansas, though, Donnie, one of the hottest teams in the country before their loss to Texas A&M in the SEC tournament. The spread is 5. The total is 139. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I'm a dog player typically here, but not really leaning towards Vermont all that much. And maybe it's a bias for myself because I picked out Arkansas a few weeks ago and said this is one of the teams I wanted to ride in the tournament or at least win a few games. So I can't go against them. Like, you know what? I handicapped this game, and I do think Vermont is going to move forward. However, Vermont's a really good basketball team. Top 50 in the country in efficiency, but also effective field goal percentage, which means how you mash up what they do on offense. Third in the country. Top 20 in the country, Kevin, at not turning the basketball over. Yeah. That's what you look forward to when you get into conference play. And if we're looking from Vermont, one of those teams, Kevin, that they're going to try to dictate the tempo of this basketball game as opposed to Arkansas. But Arkansas, sometimes you just say too big, too fast, too strong, and maybe being able to beat them down on the low block. As we take a look at two-point distribution, Kevin, which I love to see, is what does a team like to do? Shoot three-point shots, make three-point shots. The reason being, look at the distribution numbers here for Arkansas. From the three-point line, Kevin, 328th in the country at getting their points from the three-point line, which usually spells doom because if you're a Vermont team, you probably would say we're not as athletic, so we would give you the three-point shot, and if you miss those, that'll keep us in the game. That's not what Arkansas does. I'm going to pound the ball into the low block here and should have an advantage. This is another one of those games where I think everybody is circling Vermont as an upset chance over Arkansas. And again, I'm going to be a square. I'm going to buck that trend. Too big, too fast, too strong. And the SEC is a really good conference. I'll lean on that for Arkansas to move on today.
Yeah, look, so ultimately I've pushed Arkansas forward. For me, I think somehow their loss within the SEC tournament to Texas A&M blew up the fact that they were basically, Donovan, just the hottest team in the absolute country, it felt like. And I know that they suffered a 4-point loss at Tennessee. Look, this team was losing and covering. The other loss was at Alabama by 1. They went from January 12th to March 12th, Donovan, with only 2 losses on the resume before that loss in the SEC tournament, and both were losses with a cover on top of it, playing such good basketball. Here's my thing with Vermont. While I appreciate, Donnie, they're winning by 40. The spread numbers in those games, Donnie, Vermont laid 24 points, 21 points, and 16.5 points. Gonzaga, you know what? Honestly, that's a slight to the WCC to say Gonzaga-esque, man. I mean, they're laying bigger numbers than what the Zags were. That's just, again, the level of competition that they were out there playing is just such a leap. You don't have a lot to go off of here, right, in terms of big-time matchups. You have a Providence game that Vermont played, lost by 10, and a Maryland game that they played and lost by 11, ultimately, Donnie. I do think, however, that Vermont plus the points is still viable. I think Arkansas can eke this out. I think that there's a couple of these games here where I feel better about maybe my winner than the side. I didn't love the total in this game. To be honest with you, Donnie, of all of the games on this board, this was the one that I had the least conviction around here today with Arkansas and Vermont. But we continue to look at some of these, you know, where the upset could come games. Iowa, Richmond. Now, I've told Ben this. I blame him. I should have bet Iowa at 121 to win a national championship. When you text someone with the nickname Big Ten Ben that you want to bet on a Big Ten team and they say don't do it, you got to immediately assume that things are not good. Like I told people, like Donnie, I check in with Gabe before I bet a Raptors team total over. I know Gabe's going to say he likes it over. But if by some chance he said under, then the Raptors were going to go winless, basically. You know what I mean? So I blame Ben. He knows I blame Ben. But I would check in, Donnie, double-digit favorite, big-time Hawkeyes total there of 151. Are they perhaps in an upset spot, though, playing in this scary 5-12 game?
Yeah, it should be a good one here. And the reason I say that is because Richmond's one of those teams we didn't anticipate being at this level but had to go through and win their conference tournament to get here. But having said that, this is one of those teams that every once in a while we talk about, the disappointment like St. Bonaventure. Everybody comes back, feels like they're a senior-laden team. They don't get it done. Well, Richmond actually bucked that trend. Didn't have a great regular season but got hot in the conference tournament. Now, your draw is going to be Iowa. I get that. But take a look at the playing conditions here, or should I say the playing time for Richmond. Top 6 guys basically on the roster, Kevin. Take a look at this. A 6th-year senior, a junior, a 5th-year senior, another 5th-year senior, another 5th-year senior, and a senior. So you're talking about grown men out here, 23, 24, 25 years old, that they're not saying to themselves like, hey, boy, I'm really scared of this 19-year-old guard over here. They're not. They've been around the block. They got a great head coach. They can dictate tempo. But at the same time, sometimes you got to line up and play really good basketball to take down a team like Iowa, who's number two in the country at offensive efficiency. We use that, I use the moniker, too big, too fast, too strong. It's probably going to be that case, but this is one of those games where I don't think the moment is too big for Richmond. Do I think Iowa wins? Sure, but I think Richmond can sneak around the chicken coop and maybe get a cover in this game.
Look, here's the problem for me, Donnie. I think you've got an overseeded Richmond team here. I don't think they belong with the 12th line. South Dakota State should feel hard done by. Vermont, you know, who we just talked about, should feel hard done by. Richmond is here because people respect the A-10. But Richmond was 10-8 in the A-10. Again, this wasn't a dominant team. Like, it was so interesting, Donnie, how often we hear, the championship games, they don't matter as much. Like, if Richmond would have played, I don't know. Like, it's so interesting to me because they played deep into it and they still somehow got the benefit of the doubt here. And I'm a little bit surprised by that. Like, this team, ultimately, the resume is just not good enough for me. And Iowa, Donnie, doesn't really have a lot of bad losses, especially since they turned the corner. I mean, double overtime at Penn State and a two-point loss at Rutgers, okay. Those are not things that massively ding up your resume. I think Iowa moves on here. But honestly, I look at the total, 151, not too scared by it. Iowa was 8-2-1 to the over in the non-conference. Yep. Yep. And more importantly, Donnie, 4-1 to the over on a neutral. Richmond, 6-2 to the over on a neutral. New courts, no problem. This game gets over the 151.
Yes, and again, you're rightfully so, because when you take Iowa, it's not one of those teams where, Kevin, they look for an under type of situation. And again, Richmond, not going to be too – it's not the moment's not too big here for them. It's not like they're starting a bunch of freshmen. Hey, we got lucky to get here. We went 6-25 on the season and got lucky in the conference tournament. This is a team that's been around the block. Moody's a great head coach, and they'll be in it here. You're not going to get a defensive, stamp like we talk about San Diego State, where it's like, hey, man, we can't even move the basketball, and if we get the 50 points, that'll be a miracle. Or Kentucky, as I talked about, up against St. Peter's, like, man, this is really the movable object here. Iowa, you can score on them, and we'll see if Richmond comes to play. It's about knocking down shots, and if they do, you get points.
Let's keep looking for upsets here, perhaps, though, Donnie, because it's New Mexico State and it's UConn. Again, a classic. Could it be an upset spot here in a 5-12 game? The Huskies are favored, unsurprisingly. They're going to lay 6.5 points. The total for this one is 132, and I'll tell you this right now, Donnie, for me in my bracket, I put New Mexico State through. I've gone back and forth. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's a tricky spot because I'd be very, very surprised if both Arkansas and UConn advance. And if you're filling out a bracket, you would think, let's just say I'm right, Donnie. Arkansas wins, UConn loses. Well, then you love Arkansas, though, playing in New Mexico State. It lines up so nicely. It feels like this little spot here of Arkansas, UConn, one goes winless, the other it just feels so strong to get two wins. But I like what New Mexico State's bringing to the table. Four games as a dog this season. They won all four of those games. Strong record not only against the number in the non-conference, but on the neutral courts as well. And I don't think UConn, Donnie, really came into this tournament playing their best level of basketball right now. To me, left a little bit to be desired. Not covering numbers, not playing as strong as you would have liked here. I think New Mexico State covers. I think New Mexico State wins this basketball game as a 12 seed.
Yeah, it's a strong number, too, -6.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Connecticut, you'd be surprised. Your top 25 team in offensive efficiency and also very athletic. Number two in the country at offensive rebounding on the glass. That should help them out. But if we take a look at New Mexico State, another one of those teams where, Kevin, if you're just parachuting in, having fun in March Madness, hey, who's New Mexico State? Pretty good ball club here matching up, and you still have that blue blood type in UConn. So it's hard to say, hey, I'm going to move New Mexico State over unless you understand how they play, which is very good. But at the same time, when I'm looking in closer games, when I'm looking at a team that might have to pull an upset, we talked about it also earlier today, and this is going to keep coming up. Connecticut, pod system, playing in Buffalo, New Mexico State, West Coast team, coming to Buffalo, a little bit out of their element, but also turnovers here, Kevin. Turnovers on offense, New Mexico State, 313th in the nation at turning the basketball over, and you couple that with free throw shooting, only 69% as a team, which is 262nd in the country. Also, here's what I like. If your three-point shots aren't going down, which New Mexico State likes to shoot from volume, Kevin, 41% of their shots come from behind the arc. If you line that up with Connecticut, they're top 35 in the country at chasing you off of that line. And good luck trying to go down and score against the UConn Huskies. Top five in the nation at defending, Kevin, inside the arc. This is going to be a good one here. And typically you'd say to yourself, like, hey, maybe UConn's a little bit stronger of a favorite, -6.5. You read into that number, it seems like a UConn line. But again, I might be leaning towards more of the under in this game because I like the way Connecticut's defense sets up against New Mexico State. And if Connecticut is not on fire from the perimeter, hey, we might get an under here.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I know a lot of people, Donnie, feel like the you know, styles make fights, right? People say this could be an under here. Yep. But one thing I'll just add on the other side of the coin, New Mexico went over in 7 of their 10 non-conference games. UConn went over in 7 of the 11. But again, for some people, those trends maybe don't move you as much. And that's the thing. We try and give you, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle that we can. This sets up nicely. We have enough time here to hit this UNC Marquette game. And then maybe in the last segment of the hour, we can sneak in the wildness in Major League Baseball. UNC Marquette DRS. It is a spot where it feels like the ACC kind of needs this one, man. They're the 8 spot. They're a 3.5-point favorite, North Carolina. Marquette is a 9. Again, another big-time total there. 151.5 are the Tar Heels on upset alert.
You know, this is one of those interesting ones, Kevin, where you try to put through. And in my pool, I put UNC through. I'm like, yeah, they should be able to beat Marquette. But the more I look at this game as a single individual game handicap, Marquette's going to be in this one. And if you like game, because we're coming to you and trying to break these games down. And you know my philosophy heading in, Kevin. During the regular season, I like overs. I like team total overs. But in the tournament, I start leaning towards unders. This is one of those games where if you're looking to bet an over, maybe it doesn't get there since the price is pretty high at 151.5. But this is one of those games where if you like offense, you're going to get it here. Not necessarily in, hey, we're going to be ultra efficient and the game's going to go as planned, because it is an NCAA tournament game, but you're getting tempo. So you're going to get shots. These two teams aren't looking, Kevin, to say, hey, get a rebound, don't push it, set up your offense in the half court game. They're both going to be pushing it out here. If you look at Marquette on offense, a very good 3-point shooting team, top 100 in the country, going up against a UNC defense, Kevin, that's 256 at defending the three. But here's the matchup here. It's UNC's offense versus Marquette's defense. Offensive efficiency for UNC, Kevin, 26th in the country, Marquette 44th. So you have a nice matchup that sets up here. It might come down to free throw shooting percentage, and both of them shoot very well here. So if I'm breaking this game down, I actually think Marquette should be able to cover the 3.5. But more importantly, I think you get some tempo in this game. This is one where you can lay it on the over and the 151.5. I think we get both of these teams approaching the 70s, which gives you a really good chance at hitting that over 151.
I think Don is going to have to go into the bracket, though, and you try and move some things around here, because I also like Marquette to cover. Considering it's a 3.5-point line, Marquette gets the move on nod here, Donnie. Look, they've been very good this season as a dog. But look, we're talking about winning a game. This team, Donnie, with over 15 games booked as a dog, a winning record straight up. That's impressive to me here. UNC against the spread, 3-8 in the non-conference, and a disgraceful 1-4 on a neutral court. Also, I don't like this North Carolina team. They were part of the over 6. They played 2 games and both went under, which messed up that fun part that we were having in that little conference tournament trend there. Marquette wins this game. Nice. Enough time to talk about the Dodgers ruining baseball as we close out hour 1.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball, against all odds, makes the slate here on the beginning of the NCAA tournament. But that's what happens when you get a guy like Freddie Freeman to join the World Series favorite Los Angeles Dodgers. Look, I think the Chris Bryant to the Colorado Rockies story is almost on par in terms of a big deal, Donnie. Look, a couple of minutes here before we hit our second hour. What are your thoughts on those two signings?
Yeah, we talked about it at the top of the show here, and it doesn't make any sense for Chris Bryant to go to Colorado. It makes a lot of sense for Chris Bryant himself to go to Colorado with all that money. But from a Colorado perspective on we're trying to compete and win, I think you might have been better off just by building through the draft, or less just unleashing, you know, a ton of money and picking up 4 to 5 superstars, which one is not going to do it. You had one in Nolan Arenado. You traded him away and paid a lot of the salary and then paid Chris Bryant to come to Colorado. Doesn't make sense. But Freddie Freeman going to the Dodgers makes sense for the Dodgers. They have unlimited funds. They spend like a big market team. They want the best player in the market. They go out and get him. Oh, by the way, where are you going to fit in? I don't know. We're just going to get as many good players as we can and fit them in. Because from a betting perspective for me and a team total, it's almost like you don't have to worry about the Dodgers lineup each day. They have 2 starting lineups. So if somebody is out, another superstar gets plugged in here. The Dodgers won big yesterday by getting Freddie Freeman. And also keep in mind, you pull Freddie out of Atlanta here. Atlanta's the reigning champions here. That hurts them big time. They lose the heart of their baseball team.
Yeah, look, it's obviously a great move for the Dodgers. A fantastic player. It's wild that they are kind of running it up in the way that they are. But I have to say, I don't look at that contract and go, man, Dodgers are the only one that can afford that. 32-year-old, coming off that World Series trophy at $27 million annually for 6 years. I mean, that's workable. That's workable. And look, the Chris Bryant contract is very surprising. And unless it comes out that he likes thin air or the potential to pump up his statistics by playing in Coors Field, there's contenders that should have been able to meet that Chris Bryant contract. I believe $26 million annually over 7 years. He's 30 years old. And because we only have a short amount of time, I can go ahead and make two signings that have nothing to do with the Yankees about the Yankees. Pathetic. It's pathetic. I mean, you're out here with Josh Donaldson. They just went to – listen, that's how bad the Yankees are.
Jason
I'm over here
Dominguez,
talking about just went to Donnie
Anthony Volpe.
For no reason, man. It's just a tough scene, dog. We're going back one seed, lead hour number two.